to be in Lucky Lake and to spend some time together and meet some people that we haven't seen for 51 years. Andy over here, can I tell that little story about you in Morse High School? No, not high school, the public school. He's wondering what I'm going to say. I grew up in Flowing Well, not that far from here. I think it's all part of southern Saskatchewan. My wife Irma's from Abbotsford, part of Coaldale as well at one time. But we met at Bethany College and spent 3 years studying together. And the best class we ever had was Introduction to Missions, when she and I were the only students in the class. So we held hands under the desk and the teacher never knew it. Pretty good. Have to be careful because some of these people were there too. So Sperlings were there, good friends. But getting back to Andy, I was in Morse School. I think it was grade 7. One day, the principal called us into his office and said, wondered why we were in there. And he said, okay, there's a new family moved around into the area, and we know the reputation of this school, and we want you to change that reputation and be friends with this guy. So when I met Andy here, that was the only thing on my mind, was to make him feel at home. And it was really great to get to know you and your family and get to know each other. And here I see you sitting in a service. At that time, I don't think either of us would have been in one. And just how God works over time. And it is so awesome. The thing that I'm just so excited about is in grade 11 in Morse High School, and that was probably from what I know, that was probably one of the toughest schools in Saskatchewan to be part of. And just to give you an idea of how it was, by the time we were done grade 9, over half the class of the girls were having babies. And I just thought that's just the way it was. So when I came into some other places where there was a lot more Christian people, I said, what? How is this different? And I realized I had grown up in that context, and God had placed us there, me there, for a purpose. And it was in grade 11 in that school that I became a Christian. And in the process of becoming a Christian, I had made the prayer that I know I'm going to a tough school. It was in grade 11, that probably the hardest year in high school. I asked God if he would throw in one little detail, and that was that I could have a chance to share Christ with my grade 11 class, who I knew would mock me to the nth degree. And so one morning, we were in class, and Mr. Boland, I don't remember him, he was an ex-Army sergeant, and yeah, he was a tough guy. Probably needed to be in that town. And one day he came into his literature class and he says, so, he says, you young guys, who's ready to die? He was going to do a literature class on some poem about death and dying and something. So I said, oh boy, this is the answer to prayer right here now. And I had no choice. I had to put up my hand. I always sat in the back seat and quite often was playing chess with Jim. Here I raised my hand, and everybody, Barkman, what are you raising the hand? So, and the principal says, so, Barkman, what's up with your hand? Well, I said, well, you asked the question. And he said, well, what do you want to say? So right then and there is where I shared my testimony about coming to Christ and how he was changing my life. And people knew where I had been. I wasn't the worst guy in the class, but I sure wasn't the best. And it was just an awesome thing. That was the beginning of, I think, a spirit of something that God put inside of me, and I think in Irma as well. Her path and my path crossed a lot after high school, and how God put us together to be a presence in the world around us. And that's what we want to talk to you about this, because this is our lifestyle. We want to talk about the concept of faithful presence. If you never heard of it, it's probably not anything very new. In fact, it starts over there in the book of Genesis chapter 3. So the concept of presence. And the question that I have for us this morning is, I just want to say, I don't want to just talk about presence. I want to talk about faithful presence. The question is, how can you tell when somebody is really being present with you? Eye contact, yeah, looking them in the eye. Isn't it frustrating when you're talking somewhere and they're always, you know, they see somebody behind and saying hi to them with their eyes and you're paying attention? Okay, all right. I have to tell a story about our neighbor. We live in Warman, and we have an absolutely awesome little neighborhood on our block. And when we moved in there, we asked the Lord to give us a chance to be faithfully present on our block. So one of the first things that happened is we had several families move in around us, and great, great families to be part of. And there's a little 8-year-old boy. And he and I started to hang out, and I said, "So what do you want to play?" "Oh," he said, "Pokemon." I said, "Pokemon, I've never heard that. It's not like Monopoly, that's for sure." How many of you play Pokemon here or know about the game? Okay, same as me, I didn't know. But what you do there is you, in his house, you go over there, and Irma was visiting with his mom. And so I'm laying down on the floor, and in the neighbor's house, a bunch of little guys, in, no, 8 years old in grade 4 this year. So we're all laying on our stomachs, and we're playing these little Pokemon game. And, you know, you're there for 3 or 4 hours, and I still, at the end of the game, I still didn't know how to play the game. I figured that's got to be faithful presence. But it was a lot of fun. And other things would happen on the block, and you'd one day, the folks up north, you remember when the fires were up there in LaRange? I would say half of LaRange descended onto our block. And I think there were 40 within our three houses. But one of the ways we said, okay, you know what? I think we should have a block party now. All these people, and you know, they're all without, you know, they got chased out of their houses, and their dogs and cats came with them, and all kinds of people. And so we had a party, and a great big party, and people on the block were starting in. Say, "Hey, can we help pay for this?" And some said, "Can we go get ice cream?" And others would say, "Well, you know, I found out what one of these little girls that are down from LaRange has a birthday. Can we make cupcakes and have a birthday party?" And I mean, it was like an amazing time. And faithful presence. You know, it wasn't just like saying, "Okay, so hi, how are you?" But somebody had recommended having a party. And that was faithful presence. And we were doing this with Christians, non-Christians, and people were asking how they could contribute. Some said, "Well, let me bring a barbecue." Others said, "Let's do this, let's do that." But it was, you know what? At the end of that, I don't know how long was that, a couple of weeks that they were back and forth, we knew a lot of these people, and we had connections to people we had never dreamed that God would let us have connections with. In fact, we did the wedding of one of these families. And there were over 200 people at that wedding, some of them having connected at that time. Isn't that amazing? Like what God was doing there. And faithful presence, what does that look like? So it seems that people are born with the need to be present with others. Like that's partially why you're here in church. You want to be present with people that have the same values as you. It's part of us to desire the presence of God as well. And recognizing the presence of God in our everyday lives is probably one of the most amazing things that we can think of. And it's a theme that's woven into God's story right from the beginning of creation. Losing our sense of presence through sin, presence with God through sin, has been one of the most tragic experiences our humanity has ever experienced. We recognize that God sent Jesus to this world to take care of our sins, open the door for his presence into our lives once again. So presence of God is an important thing. This is the good news of the gospel, is that God wants to be present with us. And just as God sent Jesus to be faithfully present with us, he now, in the same way, gives us the assignment and sends us to live amongst the people of our neighborhoods to be faithfully present with them. So you're getting the picture here? God is faithfully present to us, and we're going to talk about 8 or 9 different stages of how that looked till we come up till today and even on into the future for eternity. He wants to be present with us, and he was with us, and he is with us. And he says, now I'm giving you an assignment. Go into all the world and be faithfully present over there. And when it's time, when the time is right and ripe, share the gospel. And I want to talk a little bit about what that looks like. Faithful presence, just a few things here, reflecting his love. So when we're playing Pokemon, that's reflecting love. Being with others, hearing their story. Irma has one of her things, and it won't take you long if you get to know her a little bit, you'll find out right away. She's into curious conversations, and that is her. Like, she will start asking you a question before long you're telling your story, so be careful. And it's exciting to watch. And that's where it all begins, is often with a question. And the very first question about presence was in the Garden of Eden. And it's in Genesis 3, verse 8, where God said to Adam, Adam, where are you? You think he didn't know where he was? But he wanted to have a talk with him. Where are you, Adam? Oh. And then it goes on to the story. What happened there? Like, and so questions are a key part of faithful presence. Laughing and crying with people. Hearing their story. Laughing and crying with their story. Spending time with them. And as God draws them, helping them to open their hearts and to enter into who Jesus really is. And not judging them. But bringing a blessing that draws people back to God who have fallen away from him. And those who are new to God, is a new idea to them, to assume that in your faithful presence, they are going to start seeing who God is. Isn't that cool? That's the assignment he gives to us. Bringing them back to his presence. And this is what I really believe is one of the most important parts of what being the church is all about. Faithfully present in our neighborhoods, in our communities where we are. Another story that I would share here is about Cecil. Cecil no longer lives, but we were on the same street in Saskatoon. And he was known as the neighborhood grouch. If you wanted to get into a swearing match, you'd talk to Cecil. Didn't take you long. Even as a Christian, you felt like it. Didn't hopefully do it, but there it is. One day I'm working on canoes. I have a couple of hobbies. One of them, all of them have to do with water. So canoes, building canoes, and repairing canoes, part of what I do to relieve stress and all that kind of stuff. So I'm out in the garage working away on one of these canoes. Well, once I look up and Cecil comes by. I says, Cecil, how are you doing today? Well, he says, it's not too bad. Things could be worse. And I said, well, tell me about that. Like, a good question gets you into the conversation. He says, my wife died yesterday. I said, what? Talk to me about this. So he's telling me the story of how she died. I said, well, can I pray for you? It's another question. It's a good one to ask when you're talking about faithful presence, and I won't use the expression that he used. He said, I don't need that. You can fill in what might have been the words. I said, oh, I'm so sorry, Cecil. And I don't think he would have let me give him a hug. But a couple weeks later, he's walking down the street. And I said, so how is it going today, Cecil? He said, well, could be better. I said, tell me about that. Well, he said, I found out that I have terminal cancer and I'm dying. I said, oh, man. I didn't ask him this time if I could pray for him, because I knew what the answer would be. I should have, because I think his heart was turning. So we kept praying for him. We asked God to do something special in Cecil's life. And we didn't know it would come through our granddaughter, who would come and visit us in Saskatoon, and Cecil was four or five houses away, and we'd often go down to his spot because he had interesting stuff to look at. He was carving birds, and he'd do things. And so one day we went over there, and we were looking at his airplane that he was repairing. He was restoring this airplane. And so my granddaughter and I, she was 6 or 7 at the time, and we talked about the story of God. I don't know if you've listened to the story of God or heard about it. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. So the story of God is about creation, how we got here, the fall, what went wrong, redemption, what's the solution to the original sin problem, and is there any hope as far as restoration? So she couldn't understand the concept of restoration. So I said, okay, let's go over to Cecil's. He's restoring an airplane. And you ask Cecil, what does restoration mean? So she went over there and she talked to him, talked. I had to finally say, Cameron, we got to get going. Grandma's going to be making supper. So we go home. So then we started taking apple pies over there for him. And she would come along and she would still wanted to see these planes. So how is the restoration come? And she said, can you explain what restoration is? And he said, what do you want to know? Well, he said, when was this plane made? In 1946, he told her. He said, oh. So what happened to it? Oh, I don't know. Something went wrong and it had to be restored. Well, she said, what does restoration mean? Well, to bring it back to its original design. You know what she said to him? She said, kind of like between you and God. You need God. You need to be restored by him. And I just turned and said, only a kid could have seen that. That's faithful presence. Faithful presence that moves people from where they are. The hardest person in the block that would call the gospel, starting with the big SH word. And here he is facing death. And she tells him the story of God. So at the end of it, we start seeing him up in the hospital. He can't move anymore. He's in there. So she's bringing him story after story on drawings. She's a little artist herself. So she drew. I said, well, why don't you draw the story of Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd and all that kind of stuff. And the next thing you know, the doctors are coming into this room. They're saying, what does that story mean, Cecil? Well, he said, I've got this little friend. And she tells me that that's the valley of the shadow of death, and I got to be ready for that. And there's all kinds of wolves there, and we're going to the other side. And he's telling the doctors the story of the gospel. He doesn't know it. And later on, the day he dies, she's up there. We're going up to see him, and they won't let us in. But the doctor comes to her and says, are you the girl that drew that picture? He said, you tell me about that. So can you imagine with that little piece of faithful presence with her, with that man, turned into a life-changing thing for a number of people? So I'm not sure if Cecil ever did make that statement of faith, but he was sure telling enough people about it so that I have feeling that I can't be that judge. But here we are, talking about the faithful presence of God and what that means and what that looks like to us. So it's not only just presence, it's faithful presence. That story I told you probably took about 2 years in that process of what that looked like. This morning I want to give just a brief overview of how God understood faithful presence and what it looked like when he became faithful to us. So Genesis 3, verse 8, we see God's presence in the garden with Adam and Eve. And God is walking and talking and hanging out with them in the Garden of Eden. He's present with them. Genesis 3, verse 8, after Adam and Eve sinned, they hid themselves from God's presence. They actually went and hid because God had to say, Adam, where are you? And he said, well, we hid ourselves. We knew that we were naked and we didn't want you to see us. And he says, how in the world did you know you were naked? Did you eat from that tree? Yeah, we did. Genesis 3:23, it says, "So the Lord banished them from the Garden of Eden," and listen to the word now, "He drove them out." They were separated from the presence of God. Now, if there's any one thing that's harsh, it's not being in the presence of God and being driven from that. In chapter 6 to 11 in Genesis, the story of the sins of the people was getting worse and worse and worse. Finally, God decides to use a flood to wipe the whole slate clean. He puts those with faith and a pair of each creatures into the ark and saves them. And the rest of the world drowns. After the flood, God sets out to restore his presence again with his creation. Genesis 12 now, verses 1 to 4. He called Abram and birthed a people to bless the nations. And he says, Abram, I'm calling you and I want you to go out to a place you've never been. And I want you to bless the nations there. God would be present with him through the nation of Israel. Pretty interesting. When you pick up on the why was Israel out there? Well, they were there and called to be a blessing. Abram was the first one. And to begin the restoration of the presence of God in the world, because he could not stand not being present with the people he created. When Israel was enslaved by Egypt, he called Moses to lead them out of slavery. Through a burning bush, God showed his presence. Exodus 33, 14 to 16. Moses doesn't want to go if God is not present with him. He doesn't want to go and do this, take them out of Egypt. God says to Moses in verse 14, "My presence will go with you, though. So don't worry about this. My presence will go with you." Maybe here's a question. Where are you going right now? Do you got to move somewhere? Do you have to make some shifts and changes? Going to school, going to here, going to there, moving away? So, moving away, got to move. My presence will go with you. Isn't that a powerful statement coming through? Time and time again, the Psalms repeats this theme of God's presence, and the person that read the scripture readings here today read that part. In verse 1, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Very present. He's not just there. He's very there. So it's like faithful comes to mind. Verse 7, "The Lord of hosts is with us." The psalm makes it clear that God's presence dispels violence. If you read through the rest of the story there, it brings peace. It stops striving. So when you think in terms of faithful presence, part of what is happening is you're coming into a context where you may not even know it, but you're bringing peace. Your very presence, as you represent God in being faithfully there, is that you bring something out that's God-related, and people will start saying, "What did I just experience here with this guy?" And if you're really curious about this one, think about the Lord's table. And about those words that usually a pastor says, he took the bread, broke it, gave thanks, and passed it out. You know that in a number of places you can find that very sequence in certain stories, like when they gave out the bread to the 5,000. He took the bread, he broke it, and gave it to them. And you know what? There is always a little miracle when you take the Lord's table in context. And the Lord's table is kind of like the story we're supposed to remember is that Jesus came to be present with us, faithfully present. And that is part of what we're celebrating at the Lord's table. Jesus is here. His body was broken for us. Do this in remembrance of me. And then, so send I you. Take out what you've learned from the Lord's table, and in your faithful presence, recognize just like the disciples, when they broke the bread and passed it out and they prayed this prayer, suddenly they, how many loaves were there? Lots. And Jesus said, you guys aren't getting this, are you? You did a miracle, or I did a miracle through you here. And it was their faithful presence out there. When you think in terms of what God is doing in asking us to be faithfully present, he is also, you know, this is why I'm interpreting the scriptures here now, and you can challenge me if you want this on it, but there's always something of a miracle coming with us when we go in Jesus' name and are faithfully present with someone else. This little boy, 8 years old, grade 4. I've never done VBS in my life until last year. And I said I'm going to do it because my neighbor boy is in grade 4 and he wants to go. So I'm going to go and I'm going to volunteer and I'll be his leader. So whoever else comes, that's fine, but it's just him and me. That's good enough. So we're coming home one day and we're on the deck and one of his aunties is in town. And she's having some issues with something. And he goes up to her and says, Auntie, you know, if you had Jesus in your heart, he would help you with this. Not cool. A little miracle. And there are other stories that are there, that just in how God crosses you up with people, that you open yourself up to and say, I want to be faithfully present with other people. You will be surprised at the little miracles. Do you remember who was it that went with the Ethiopian guy there? Red, Philip, yeah. Was that a miracle? Why can't that happen to you? Can it happen to me? And I know it does. We've experienced it. Like even with Cecil, I haven't talked to him for maybe 2 years, and almost he walks past him right at that second. Is when God has appointed a time for a conversation. And there it is. And it's like right in your face. Like that time when in grade, whatever the grade was, grade 11, and that principal said, okay, there it is. And you identify and say, okay, this is a bit of a miracle. What am I going to do here now? Like, don't look for a huge, huge thing right away. Look at the wee, wee little things. This couldn't happen if God hadn't been doing this. Something that crosses the path and you say, whoa. And the key thing is be ready with a question. A little question. And all you have to do is ask one and you may be surprised where God is going to lead that conversation. That's Psalm 46. Even though the nation of Israel rebelled over and over and sinned and separated themselves from God, he loved them and brought forward leaders to lead them back to his presence. And that's why God is sending us out to be faithfully present in our neighborhoods. And he does the same with us. And God's overall plan to restore a fallen, sinful world, God sent Jesus to die. In Matthew 1:23, it says, Behold, the virgin shall conceive with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name what? Emmanuel, which means? God is with you, and I want you never to forget that, he says, because I'm going to put this in the communion service, and every single time you have a communion service, you must remember that I am with you, and I am Jesus, and I died on the cross for your sins, and I am faithfully present with you, and it doesn't matter how tough life can get, I am with you. And that's the message we bring to our neighborhoods. This isn't a minister's job. Sometimes I've heard it said, bring all your friends to church. And what he doesn't say is, and by my sermons, I will make sure they get saved. That is not what this text says. It says, I want you to be faithfully present. And when that door opens, you will know it. And God will give you words to say. He'll give you a good question. Sometimes you have to practice with your spouse and see what that looks like. And you kind of look at her a second time and say, Where are you going with that question? I do that before I answer now, because I know she's always going somewhere. Through Jesus, God came in the flesh to be the very presence of God among us. He moved into the neighborhood and lived along with his disciples with people like Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And you know what he was like. I think he would have fit well into more school, Andy. the woman at the well. Everybody looked and said, "Excuse me? What are you hanging out with that person for?" And you know something? Sometimes, what did Jesus say one time? "Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it to me." Jesus is modeling that here. Even Judas, who would later turn against Jesus, he stopped to heal people like the lepers, the blind, the lame, the raving maniacs, people that had been written off. So don't ignore these people. He went to the cross for all of us to take our sins that separated us from God's presence, and he bled and died to take these sins on himself and offer us that if we accept him and his work on the cross for our sins, he will forgive us and open the way of eternal presence with God for eternity. And I want you to turn around, so send I you. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's what Paul said. At the Lord's table, talked about that already, "Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you, and don't forget about my presence. Do this in remembrance." Then in Matthew 28:16, Jesus sends us out as disciples, including every one of us, by saying, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded. And lo, I am," what? "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Even there, even as we're having these conversations, Jesus is present. Don't ever forget that. Don't forget that the communion service is as much about you getting your heart right with God as to say, what is the miracle that God wants to work and do through me? And you can be an 8-year-old kid and watch that miracle. And the final description of God's presence with us is in the picture of Revelation 21, where it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth pass away, and the sea was gone, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a beautiful bride prepared for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, look, the home of God is now among us, his people, and he will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will remove all of their sorrows, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain," and from our Sunday school class, "no more alcoholism, and for the old world and its evils are gone forever." Now that is going to be presence that's going to be worth dying for. And worth living for. And that's what God is calling us to be, faithfully present to influence and encourage and watch and draw people towards that. The very exciting piece of what that whole picture looks like. So what does this look like? One word or two here. Listening to the people's story. Ask to hear their story. Tell me about that. It's one of Irma's favorite questions. Tell me about that. And it has more to do with listening than talking. Not providing answers for people, but listening. They'll tell you when they want the answer. Being with people over time. Building trust. Sometimes we think we have to get in there with the gospel and get them saved real quick. Well, I'm not so sure about that. Sometimes they're ready, and sometimes they're not. And trust is an important feature. So sometimes you just build trust. As we are willing to be faithfully present to those people, God's power is released, and it's at work, not just for pastors and leaders, but every follower of Jesus. This is the way the whole church becomes a blessing to the nation we lived in. Can you imagine if every church attender lived this out? What that could look like on your block, your farming community, your area. Man, I look at this and I say, wow, this is exciting. And it gives you questions you've never had before, too. So, listen for your assignment. What is it? Where's God calling you to stop and just pay attention, maybe to ask another question? Who's left behind in your area? Listen for pain. Offer to pray. This is often a way to open the conversation. And I could tell you, I think, probably more stories about this section than any other else in the whole area of faithful presence. Now, when you offer to pray for somebody, that gives them the signal that this is a spiritual conversation. And if they're ready, they'll tell you yes. If they're not, they'll say, I don't need that S word. Oh, okay. Sorry about that, but we'll get to it sometime.